Welcome to Ask the Guru, the podcast where we answer those big questions like, who am I and why am I here? What's it all for? Thank you so much for joining me on this quest for the answers. Welcome back to Ask the Guru. So today we're on to chapter 3 of Hidden in Plain Sight. This is where we're going to discuss the three aspects of you. This is an incredibly, incredibly potent, life-changing chapter. I encourage you to listen all the way to the end because there is absolutely no way that you will come away from listening to this chapter without having some sort of profound awakening. This chapter is truly where I begin to give you some of the incredible life-changing information that will truly shift the way that you see the world, your body, your mind, and of course, most important, the way you see you. So let's begin there by understanding what I mean when I say you. You are ineffable. There aren't words that can speak through the illusion, the Maya, right? And reveal what you are in completion. But I'm going to try my best. I'm going to do my best to describe the essence of you because I want you to understand how amazing you are. You are pure love, light. In the essence of you, you are just consciousness and energy. You are infinite, boundless, limitless. You do not need the body or mind. You are something outside of the body and mind, but you choose it. Life is a game that you play. You utilize the mind and the body like an avatar. At birth, the spell was cast, you forgot who you were, and you knew this would happen. And you are here playing the game to remember and free yourself from the illusion. Since you are infinite love, you cannot stay in a place that lacks those qualities. Love or qualities like love, gratitude, appreciation, they are the glue that keep you in the body. They're two opposing qualities. The qualities that cause you to jump out of your body, to separate, or the qualities that show you, reveal to you that you are separate. These are resistance and feelings of powerlessness. And you tell the story of victim. Anytime you're in that place of resistance to what is, feeling powerless or like the world is doing to you, this is when you have separated from your body. Try not to get hung up on the words. I recognize that they cast illusory meaning to them. And when I say love, I want you to think of expansion. See, love is open, allowing, infinite, and who you are. It has an attracting quality. Resistance is contracting and stagnant. It holds no power and is a repelling energy. If the mind is in this state, you cannot be present. To create an opportunity of alignment, the alignment of you into the mind, into the body, right? The full alignment, the power of you accessing now, a time when you become whole, you must first create space in the mind for you to enter. So to do this, you'll have to find a way to press pause on that subconscious recording. You have to actually halt the momentum that you've built in that subconscious recording. So you might be living out a life that is just going at full speed and everything seems to be hitting you in the story of powerlessness or victim, right? Where you're struggling and the world is doing to you. At that point, you just need to press pause. Pump the brakes, take a seat, close your eyes, focus the mind on something that is happening in the moment. So you're trying to cultivate presence. You have to pause and wait until the mind slows down and meets you in the present moment. This could take a while. But once present, try directing your mind towards gratitude. So again, you have to take the time to sit, to get still, to allow the mind to come into the moment, to notice the moment, drink it in, listen to the sounds, feel the present moment, and then from there, find gratitude. not allowing the mind to drift into the past or into the future, but just noticing that moment and feeling grateful for that moment, as if that is all there is. There's nothing you need to achieve, nowhere you need to go. It's just that moment. So this could be like, here's some easy access points into gratitude. Just, I'm grateful for all who love me. And you might be in a place where you feel nobody loves you. So in that place, I'm grateful for the food in my fridge, and I'm grateful for this breath, or even as simple as I'm grateful for my soft pillow to rest my head. So this is something that you can do at any point in the day, as long as, you know, you're not driving a car, right? You can pump the brakes, pause, and then find that stillness, you know, slow the mind down and access presence. So it can be done at any point, but nighttime is an incredibly potent time to elicit big results in potentially changing the subconscious program. So at nighttime, just before you go to sleep, you can press pause on that program. You can access the present moment. You can come into your body. And then from that, again, first finding gratitude, but from that place of love and appreciation and gratitude, feeling your soft pillow, noticing the moment, there you're in your greatest level of power, and you can integrate mind into body. And then you give the mind directions. You tell it what to do when you're resting. Right, this is when all your resistance is gone. So you get out of the way, essentially, and you're going to put the mind to work while you're asleep. And there's no limit to what the mind can do if it is directed and resistance is gone. I mean, beyond healing the physical body, you could direct the mind to help you align the body with a future goal. Or you could ask it to resolve a problem, a prominent problem that you've been facing in life. Let's talk a little bit more about what the mind is. What is your mind? Well, your mind oversees your emotions, your thoughts, your feelings, your willpower, your imagination and memory and perception. When you utilize the mind to access the present moment, you'll be faced with a reality that you have molded and created. Your world is not necessarily the same world as mine. You know, each of us have our own individual world we have created and are perceiving. So you can never know what I see when I look through my eyes, and I can never know what you see. It has all been distilled and filtered through our individual beliefs, experiences, and intentions. So your current lens, what you are looking at the world through, is a combination of these beliefs and filters, and the input through your five senses in the moment. Your mind is not creative. Instead, the mind relies solely on your direction in how it will reveal the world to you. It is an unbiased interface between you and all matter, including your body. It filters info and alters your lens based on how it is directed by you. Understanding the relationship of mind to body is a necessary step towards utilizing the mind to create perfect health and youthful vitality in the cells that make up your body. See, we are not at the mercy of disease or bacteria as we have been led to believe. It is not a matter of good or bad luck that determines whether the body will become the victim of a virus. If you stay present and consciously direct the mind to do what it needs to keep the body in perfect health, it will result in perfect health. See, we know the impacts of stress and disassociation with our bodies, anger, sadness, resentment, and resistance. We know that these things can have a terrible impact on our health, yet we don't prioritize regaining balance and centering when we feel misaligned. Since society has accepted sickness as a part of life, we just wait until it happens and tell everyone that we have become an unfortunate victim of an ailment. Telling the story that you are a victim of anything says that you are powerless over this thing. Try looking at sickness and aging differently. When you get sick, pause and ask yourself, what was happening in your life over the last 6 months? Was there a prominent toxic thought occupying a large portion of your mind? Did this thought provoke toxic feelings or emotions that have become validated by your experience? For example, have you Have you been thinking that others are causing you pain or hurting you? Have you had resistant thoughts like, I hate my job, everyone is mean to me, nothing ever works out the way I want? Since the mind is unbiased and just reveals to you what you ask it to, these thoughts are consistently validated by your experience. If they aren't healed, you will validate them even more by telling everyone that will listen how unfairly or poorly you are being treated. Once you resolve your power, you've forgotten who you are. These thoughts began as a disruption in your mind. If you stay stuck in reactive mode, the disruption will grow bigger and more prevalent in your experience. Eventually, all negative thinking, if not resolved, will result in a manifestation of pain and sickness in the body. To realign, heal, and resolve painful thoughts, you sit, get quiet, access presence through your five senses, and work to find a way back to feeling love, gratitude, or appreciation. Once you've accessed this feeling, you will remember who you are. This provides the vantage point of, I am the creator of my experience. I create all experiences and everything is happening for me. Therefore, instead of just treating the symptoms that have manifested in your body or your life from these toxic thoughts, you will heal the thoughts by altering the beliefs that allowed them. All sickness is creative and healed by the mind. Let's dispel the myth of disease. Even the word, we can see that disease is simply a dissonance or lack of ease, which is the exact definition of resistance. When you are present with thoughts of love and gratitude, you can direct the mind to create any sort of environment in the body. The mind is unbiased and simply follows the instructions of this program to follow. How can the mind become misaligned? And why is alignment of your thoughts, words, and actions necessary for perfect health, peace, and creative power in life? Your beliefs give your mind instructions. For example, imagine you've been offered a piece of cake. You have, at some point in your life, accumulated the belief that cake makes you fat and sick. If you eat this cake, disregarding this misaligned belief, the mind will instruct the body to behave as it has been directed. How often do you eat, watch, do things that you believe are toxic and will have a negative impact on you? Then, when the result, which you predicted, happens, you act as if it was unfortunate or bad luck. Please hear this. I am not saying don't eat the cake. Eat the cake and enjoy life and live freely. What I'm saying is, it is incredibly important that you write your beliefs about the cake before you eat it. You must align your thoughts with your actions. Remember, the mind is going to follow your instructions. And if there is a discord in the mind about what you are eating, if you place the label toxic, fattening, terrible for me on that cake, and then you ingest it, your mind is going to think that you've taken in a toxin. It doesn't know any different. So either find evidence of the opposite story about cake. Find people that eat lots of cake and stay healthy and fit. Or hold the belief, and this is my favorite belief, that everything is okay in moderation, even cake. And there you just need to decide what moderation is to you. Is it once a week? Is it twice a week? This is why placebo works. Your thoughts about the medicine create the result. You tell your mind, this is medicine, it will make me better, and then you eat it. And so then the mind says, oh, we've taken something that will make us better. And so the mind does what it needs to do to create that environment within the body. So with the mastery of presence, love, and your mind, you could turn literally a cup of water or your next deep breath into a magical healing tonic. It could be your placebo. If all is created by the mind and children haven't yet learned negative thinking, how do they get sick? This is a question I get a lot. Why are children who are innocent, how come they have to suffer? Well, children are wide open and absorbing everything from their environment. They, again, their brains move at a slower pace, a slower frequency. And so they're absorbing, they're open like little sponges. They're not yet directing what they will become or their thoughts about things. They are just absorbing things as they are. They are still in that initial programming stage. So this starts with their DNA that they receive from mom and dad, and then the emotions, energy, and thoughts of mom and dad while in utero, and again, the unbiased observation of mom and dad as they are moving through life can draw in, they pull everything in through all of their senses, this wide open vacuum. And so whatever it is that they are drawing in from the world around them can oftentimes manifest in them. Now, let's look at our system of healing and ailments in Western society. How do we deal with sickness? We have made both healing and sickness a process that is out of our control. Again, we have decided that we are at the mercy of sickness. So once we get sick, it's not something we have the capability. We give up our power, essentially, and just sit back and say, well, I hope. But and since we view sickness as being caused from an external source, we believe that this is also how the healing should happen, is from an external source. So if we think, oh, we obtain the sickness outside of ourselves, then we must look for the medicine outside of ourselves instead of the truth, where, of course, the sickness developed within you from a state of resistance, from negative thinking, turbulent emotions, which again are just the result of negative thinking, and all of these things creates a dissonance in the body, a disconnect, and eventually this manifests as sickness. So the way that we should be curing it, of course, oftentimes we do need to look to Western medicine to heal some of the symptoms, to ease the symptoms, but we need to go to the source when we want to heal this problem or this ailment. We've got to go, what caused it? But again, because we now often look outside of ourselves for the cure, viewing that the sickness happened from an external source, because of this, our health journey, although it's personal, again, something that is happening within ourselves, is become largely reliant on someone else. It's a societal norm to immediately, upon birth, elect someone who has studied the physical makeup of the body to delegate our path to vitality. As we grow and learn about the world around us, we spend very little time getting to know the vehicle we will use to navigate this world. With little knowledge of our bodies, how can we possibly instruct the mind to create a healing? If we aren't even sure how that healing needs to happen, where we're necessarily broken, we look to somebody else to tell us. By the time we are grown, we actually know little more than the names of body parts and their general function. And we have almost no knowledge whatsoever about energy, electricity, and the life force that animates the body. I absolutely love watching the amazement on people's faces when I bring my energy stick to workshops and seminars. It's essentially a light bulb with two wires built into the stick. Each wire is run to opposite ends and attached to a piece of tinfoil. And I ask everyone to stand in a circle and join hands. So we're creating a circuit, right? But two people will hold either end of the stick. And once a full circuit is created, the stick lights up. I instruct two people somewhere in the chain to release hands and the light goes off. This reveals to everyone the powerful electrical current flowing through our bodies. I mean, why is this important to us? Why do we need to understand that there is an actual electrical current that when we touch each other, we are sending electricity through the body? If we touch each other and join hands, both hands, we've created a circuit. We are having an energetic exchange. Well, the heart is at the center of all your bodily systems. It is the most important organ in the body. I mean, from 3 weeks after conception, the heart begins beating and does not stop until your last exhale. This is what we look for when we go to the doctor. You know, you want to hear that heartbeat, that strong heartbeat of the baby. Your heart emanates an electrical field that extends on average around 3 feet from your body. This is like your little energetic aura, you know. It truly does. They can measure it. They can come in with instruments and measure this electrical field that extends from your body. This electrical system that flows through the body, extending outside of you, controls the electrical impulses that cause your heart to beat and their conduction, which organizes the beating of your heart, so keeps it at that steady rhythm. This electrical conduction across the heart's pathway is what is visible when traced on an electrocardiogram or an EKG. They will often use paddles to send an electrical current through the body and shock the heart back into a steady rhythm if something has caused it to fall out of sync. It's truly unbelievable that when you consider that every day you utilize this incredibly complex machine, your body. You give it food, air, water, while barely scratching the surface of how it operates. Like every intricate machine, there's always a mainframe or a motherboard. This is a place that holds the information, delegating how it should perform. It has an operating system that is constantly updating. This mainframe is your mind. You may have had little control over the initial operating system or program, but now, with this information that I am giving you, you will see that you have the ability to rewrite your program and create whatever outcome that you can dream up or imagine. Much like the limited understanding we have of our body, the mind is equally mystifying. Even those who have devoted their lives to studying the mind feel as though they have only scratched the surface. The mind focused on the desired result can direct the systems of the body to regenerate using their memory of before an injury or illness. And the mind can even prevent the onset of a sickness your body has a predisposition to by changing or altering your DNA. The mind can send signals through the nervous system to turn on or off genes. Each gene is given instructions to direct cellular behavior. This means that you are not bound and limited by the DNA at birth, as environment, habits, beliefs, all can change the mind, which controls and instructs the DNA. If our mind, when healthy and directed, can alter DNA and turn on dormant genes, initiating processes to heal, balance, and change the cellular structure of the body, why do we get sick? Because the mind needs you. You must direct the mind in order for healing to happen. It has no concept of health on its own. You are its programmer. Therefore, what you put in is what you will get out. If managed and programmed properly, your mind can produce in your body and environment what may be seen as miraculous results. We've all been witness to stories of radical, unexplainable healings and the magical outcomes of placebo. Thousands of studies have been done on placebo, and all have results showing that when you are convinced you have the medicine that will heal you, this alone puts the mind on the task of healing and more often than not produces that outcome. Use this technique to connect the mind to the body. So most of us, this is where the glitch is. It's like, well, how do I connect myself and get into the mind and then direct the mind into the body? How do I do this? Well, begin by closing your eyes. Just stop. Pause. And oftentimes we are running so fast and the mind has built momentum. So when we press pause, the mind is still running, and that's okay. We'll slow it down. You might become aware of processes in your body. Give the mind something to do, like focus it on your breath, counting your breaths. You just observe your body. Notice if your body is sitting or laying down. Become aware of what parts of the body are connecting with that supportive surface and what parts are touching the air or space that's around you. And just become sensitive to the sensations of the air on your skin, or trying to become aware of the space that surrounds you. If you can move your awareness in front of your body or above your body, just notice that. And then try moving your awareness throughout your body. Maybe start at your feet and create the thought. Tell your mind to tell your feet to relax. Then notice your feet relaxing. Keep using your mind to instruct different body parts to relax and notice the results. The body cannot defy the instructions of the mind. It can only submit. Try moving your awareness through your entire body until fully relaxed. Then once all resistance has dissipated, instruct the cells in each part of your body to rejuvenate and regenerate into perfect health. Use your mind to instruct the cells in your eyes to return to their perfect state of health, or even better if you've never had good vision. Do this with your scalp, your hair follicles, ears, brain, tooth enamel, gums, and roots of the teeth, and so on. Spend time focusing on seeing what you want to see in the mirror or feel and experience as your life. I recommend utilizing and visualizing light as a tool for healing. I often imagine that I'm turning on each cell in the body like a light bulb, and in my mind I see energy flowing throughout the whole body, that I see that electricity. My blood becomes rivers of white light, and my heart like a giant sun illuminating everything. In Chinese medicine, they teach of three dantians, so often I will use that visual. These are viewed as major energy centers in the body, or I like to imagine them as suns. And so the first sun is the upper dantian, which sits in the mind. There's one in the heart, and then one just below the belly button. And I just see them emanating into all the rest of the body until I see the whole body glowing. This is a great way to sit and heal your body, moving light into the places that may be experiencing some level of darkness or neglect. It's like turning the cells back on like a light switch. An example of placebo, altering the results in your body. This is something we don't often think about, but sometimes the placebo doesn't have to necessarily be just a medicine, right? But placebo is believing in an action creating a result. So this is again where thoughts and words and actions all need to be aligned. So there's an example of a placebo that was a study that was taken where, like, well, imagine this. Have you ever had a great workout, and because you took an action that you have associated with results, afterwards you glanced in the mirror and thought, wow, look at me, I really made a change. One workout didn't change your body. I mean, let's be real, but it did change your mind. You believed that what you did would improve your body, and that became the result you got when you looked in the mirror. So here's an incredible abstract from a research article. This is by Aaliyah J. Crum and Ellen J. Langer from Harvard University. So in a study testing whether the relationship between exercise and health is moderated by one's mindset, 84 female room attendants working in 7 different hotels were measured on physiological health variables affected by exercise. So those in the informed condition were told that the work they do, cleaning hotel rooms, is good exercise and satisfies the Surgeon General's recommendations for an active lifestyle. Examples of how their work was exercise were provided, and subjects in the control group were not given this information. Although actual behavior did not change, 4 weeks after the intervention, the informed group perceived themselves to be getting significantly more exercise than before. As a result, compared with the control group, they showed a decrease in weight, blood pressure, body fat, waist-to-hip ratio, and body mass index. These results support the hypothesis that exercise affects health in part or in whole via the placebo effect. What is your body? So we have covered, what is you? What is your mind? What is your body? Well, again, if we recognize that there is a you, that ineffable, amazing being of love that is limitless and boundless, and then it has to filter through the mind, which becomes this interface between you and your body. So let's talk about the body. What is it? Your body is an outward projection of your mind, right? This is how come the body can be so impacted by something as simple as being told that what you're doing is a really great workout. So discord in the mind often, if not healed, will manifest in the body. If we're having thoughts, negative thoughts that I'm doing bad things for myself, I'm eating terribly, these things will cause me to have bad health, these things will eventually manifest in the body. Even just disturbing thoughts that create negative emotions. And it's not until it manifests in the body, that's when we usually start to pay attention. For some reason, we don't seem to mind as much when we're having disturbing thoughts, negative feelings, feeling down about ourselves. I mean, of course, this bothers us, but once it gets into the body and manifests, now we're forced to pay attention. Pain in the body can halt us, forcing us to look at the problem. However, we usually deal with the external manifestation of the problem and stop there, without really understanding what created the blockage, disharmony in the body. So we are only managing the symptoms and never resolving the cause, which I assure you is rooted in the mind. This lack of knowledge allows the continuation of habitual negative thinking and places the body and nervous system under undue stress. This stress can cause the nervous system, the electrical system in the body, to overload and eventually may cause a natural function of the body to stop working properly. It's like it gets frazzled. You know, it's when we overload a circuit and suddenly everything gets burnt out. This can happen as the nervous system will create a broken line of communication from mind to the body when that frazzled or burnout happens in that connection. So just imagine the digestive system going haywire, right? Somehow the electrical current carrying information on how and what to do is coming in choppy or broken due to mental stress or feeling overwhelmed. In this case, would changing your diet have any impact on the function of digestion? The answer is no. No, it wouldn't, because there's no communication. The mind cannot tell the stomach what to do with this food. And so the stomach doesn't know. The body is not intelligent. It listens to the instructions of the mind. So if there is a disconnect in that communication, we have a problem. So we often think to ourselves when we're having digestive issues, oh, we just need to eat healthier, our bodies will be better. Because as I mentioned before, your thoughts aligned with an action can create the predicted outcome. However, if your body is broken and the communication between brain or mind and body isn't working, the mind can't properly instruct and the body becomes confused. On its own, the body doesn't know which nutrients to keep and which to discard or how to efficiently utilize the nutrients. It just is a machine doing what it is told. Spending time nurturing, healing, and strengthening your nervous system while at the same time reducing stress on the nervous system should be of highest priority in overall healing. Since the mind is connected to the nervous system, its thoughts and signals to the body create emotions or energy in motion. Energy being the E in emotion, and then motion, energy in motion. Too much energy can overload the system. That's when you see that frazzled, that too much energy, the negative thoughts coming in, the stress, the tension, it overloads and explodes that system. And then we have a disconnect. Even the most basic knowledge and understanding of your body could prevent a large amount of panic, anxiety, depression, and ultimately any physical ailments. Our ignorance often causes us to misuse and abuse our body and blindly trust in the advice of a doctor when things go wrong, looking for that external healing. Although our medical system is finally waking up to the need to de-stress, most doctors will still diagnose you based on symptoms, duration, and onset, while having little to no concept of your lifestyle, environment, or mental state. They may suggest changing your diet or looking for allergies. And since we trust in the doctor and believe in the diagnosis, this label or explanation usually allows some relief in the mind, which in turn soothes the nervous system and can open communication back up with that area or system in the body, which may allow healing to begin. I think most of us have had that experience, right? Of feeling ill or in pain, and you go to the doctor and the doctor gives a diagnosis, and even without a prescription, the symptoms begin to improve. This is the power of knowing. Really, it is just trust and faith in the doctor. The explanation makes sense. You grab onto it with hope. Hope creates relief, and now you have a path in your mind allowing you to start visualizing your healing. The uncertainty before the diagnosis had you dwelling in all kinds of possible outcomes. This was very stressful and caused even more symptoms due to an overwhelmed nervous system. It could even be just that the doctor diagnosed you and gave you a little more information about your own body, and now that you isolated where the issue was, you were able to send your mind into that place and heal it. If the mind is the interface between, again, you and your body, what happens when the mind is sick? Have you ever referred to someone else as gifted? This is probably because you've forgotten. Everyone has the same gift, but depending how you use it, the result will look different. You were gifted with a mind that can create the perfect environment of thoughts, words, and actions to produce literally any result as your life. Your ignorance to the power that resides within your own mind to change any displeasing circumstances is the only thing holding you back from creating the life of your dreams. We fear the things that we do not understand. Therefore, having forgotten the power within your mind and how to use it has made you fear instead of revere it. I am helping you to remember that you have the greatest gift of all in your beautiful mind. Wasting your energy and using your mind to process thoughts of fear, protection, worry reveals your doubt in your power. Instead of directing your mind towards what you want to reveal as your life, you are running from your own thoughts. Your mind is the connection, the interface between you, which is pure consciousness, inspiration, ideas, and manifested form, the physical body and your life. It craves input, knowledge, and expanded thoughts. But in today's society, it is bombarded with toxic, limiting, disturbing, and contracting content. As it plays back thoughts that are interpreting the input, you feel the results of the contents of the mind through your emotions. So even if you did your very best to avoid filling your mind with disturbing images or content, it is inevitable that your subconscious will pick these things up as you navigate through your daily routine. Seeing screens, seeing things in the background, the mind is picking up so much that maybe your filters aren't allowing you to perceive. Your mind, like your body, is vulnerable to toxins from the environment or the food you feed it. The difference is when the body accumulates too much and becomes ill, it can force rest, purging, cleansing, processing, or clearing of toxins. The mind, although equally impacted, cannot shut down or force a purge. It is dependent on you to rest it and give it time to heal, clear, and process the toxins it may have ingested. Consider a time when you ate bad food and your body rejected it. Even after everything was cleared out, you had to ease back into food, maybe with a very bland diet. The mind is no different. If you've experienced a trauma, injury, or experienced something that has altered your emotions, you need to not only take time away from all other input while the mind is processing, but then ease back into content with a very bland diet, aware of triggers that may be causing you discomfort. Disturbing thoughts are a sign that your mind has digested something that is causing pain and or blockage and needs to be processed or purged. Otherwise, if ignored, it could turn into a physical ailment. Noticing unhealthy patterns of thought and choosing to clear them is just as important as being aware of what you are feeding the mind. Technology has increased the amount of information the mind is consuming every day. In today's world, the amount of information your wonderful, beautiful mind, your gift, is processing in one day is equal to one full year's worth of information to a human being just 100 years ago. Social media, television, and video games can overwhelm the system, causing it to frazzle, disconnect. It's like constantly eating fast food and not pausing in between meals to process. There's no nutritional content, and it can often leave you feeling yucky. Much like fasting from food can help heal a hurt tummy, fasting from external input can heal the mind. Allowing time in solitude so the mind has time to process all that has been consumed. Then, as you implement stimuli back in, do it mindfully and begin with a bland diet. Don't jump right in from a sensory fast with hours of social media and an amusement park. I mean, this way, you know, you want to be aware of your baseline. You want to be aware of how you feel when your emotions are calm, when the mind is still. And from that place, you'll begin to notice as you bring more information in, how is it impacting your emotional body, your mental body? When you're watching this, when you're doing this, how are you feeling? And if you notice when you go certain places that you feel that, and then you'll start to acknowledge that the mind is an important part of you. So if watching this thing causes a disturbance, maybe you will stop ingesting that. So it's important to find that baseline, that pause. Meditation is fasting for the mind. See, sitting with eyes closed and no external input is imperative for a healthy mind, especially in today's society where we have so much information. Unavoidable, right? After a meditation, you'll have that baseline. You'll feel peaceful, calm, and centered. Sitting without input gives time for the turbulent waters of emotion to settle. I liken it to a snow globe. If you were to shake up a snow globe and all the flakes are kind of floating around, the water becomes foggy and it's really hard to see sort of the picture, you know, behind the flakes, the snow. But if you sit the snow globe down and leave it be for a while, eventually all the flakes will settle down to the bottom and the water becomes clear. This is just like the mind. It will become clear again if you sit long enough. When you emerge from meditation, you may be more aware as the mind slips into habitual thinking or old stories or those emotions begin to arise. And your awareness is your power. Taking the priority to recognize your mind as the gift that is capable of creating anything. It's like your magical genie that all you have to do is care for it, you know, feed it the right things, keep it healthy, and then tell it what you want it to do. And it is crazy amazing, this gift you have. Your mind is the connection between you and this world. If you take charge of your mind, you can wake up inspired and empowered every day. Using the mind the way it was intended means you are dreaming, visioning, imagining, and believing. When you're using the mind to do any of those things, you are doing the preparation to create the experience of whatever you can imagine. And in the meantime, it feels good. It feels good to daydream and visualize. So you're bringing good feelings into the body, into the moment, and you're telling the mind and the body what it is that you wish to start to create. You're changing your filters. The mind is a miraculous, wonderful tool. If you learn to utilize the mind as the creative tool it was intended to be, revered like a secret weapon, you could and would create any desired result, limited only by your imagination. This applies to everyone in every walk of life. The only requirement is the willingness to devote time and attention towards achieving mastery over the mind. Here's the summary of Chapter 3. Your power To heal, harmonize, balance, regenerate, rejuvenate, and create just about anything relies on the divine union of self. To change your circumstances, heal your body, or transform your life, you must first become whole. Imagine that as you have occupied this body and connected with others, traveled to places dreamed and imagined, you have scattered pieces of you all over the world. You exist in other people's thoughts, in the earth, water, and the ether. So, begin by closing your eyes and mentally calling all of the pieces back. And mentally calling all of the pieces of you back into your body. Ask to become whole. Then think the thought, I am here now and I notice the sounds. I am here now and I see. I am here now and I feel. And state what it is that you see. State what it is that you feel. Feel your energy occupying your feet, your legs, your body, your arms. Move into your body. Try and notice that it's you looking out through your eyes and seeing, even if the eyes are closed. Observe your breath. These are all tricks to become present and access creation through divine union. The mind interpreting what is in any given moment through observation of the five senses anchors into the body. And since only you can make that happen, you are present. Gratitude, love, or happiness are feelings generated from now. Grief, depression, sadness, regret, they're all feelings that can only be born from a memory. They're resistant to what is, wishing it was different and hung up on the event that happened in the past. Those feelings are constricting, restricting, and stagnant. They're both resistant and powerless and cannot allow for creation. Angst, fear, and dissatisfaction are created through thoughts of the future and again are resistant to the present. You are wishing you were somewhere else or fearing the unknown. Both create a sense of powerlessness and contraction. Gratitude and love are feelings in the now. They are expansive, allowing, and creative. What does your mind have to do with emotions and thoughts? Everything happens from the now. When you can find love, when you can find gratitude and appreciation, anchor in your body, from that point, anything is possible. You'll create divine union with your true nature. This is where inspiration can flow in, ideas. You'll know, it'll clear the path. You'll awaken to your dharma, your own individual unique purpose. You can heal. You can rejuvenate. Anything is possible. I urge you to practice this today, to sit down and spend 5 minutes activating a sense of presence. And from that place, from noticing, from breathing, from stillness, begin to try and find the feeling of appreciation, of love, of gratitude. And anything is possible from that. Oh, I thank you so much for listening. I hope in some way this elevated you, shifted you, altered you, gave you some sort of new perspective, and ultimately gave you back your power. So much love. Your Guru.